Typically, we're watching First Baptist Gardendale, and I always get inspired by what is on their broadcast, and then just elated Brother Kevin would come. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Kevin, as I do, if you would make your way to come. Let's pray. Father, love you so very much. Thank you for this night. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, so much for each part that's made it up. I thank you, Lord, for the songs that we heard and how your name was lifted up on high. And Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord, you are the source of all of who we are. Father, we're just so thankful tonight that Brother Kevin's here. God, I pray that you'd bless him, speak through him. And Lord, I just pray that you'd give us a message. All this we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Well, amen. Thank you, Pastor, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. It's my privilege and my joy. Pastor, thank you, Brother John. Thank you for inviting me. I had the opportunity to meet he and his precious family a few weeks ago, and it was a joy just to be able to pray with them and say hi to them, and thank you for inviting me here. I tell you, I don't know about the message, but the music was worth coming for. Amen. So that is great stuff. God bless you guys. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's great variety, and I love your heart. You know, I tell our folks all the time, I'd much rather preach behind people who sing from the heart rather than just from their lips. And I'm not nearly as concerned about talent and skill as I am heart and passion and realness. And, you know, I've had opportunity to be around some national groups, and, you know, not all of them, but I want to tell you, some of them, I was kind of sorely disappointed. It had become a business to them, and I'm grateful that it's a ministry to you guys. And I love your name, Highway 231. I have to admit, I was sitting there thinking, what does that mean? So, in fact, I got lost coming. I was looking for Highway 231, so I got turned around a little bit there, but we made it here, and thank you for inviting me. It's great. I almost preached at the Harvest Church or whatever it is right up the corner there, so seriously, I pulled in, got out of my car, and I said, oh, this is the wrong place. So anyway, so I made the track on down here, so it's a joy for me to be here tonight. Great time of worship. And I just appreciate, you know, I love to be in God's house with God's people, and it doesn't matter where it is. You know, I was born in a deacon's home, and so I grew up in church. I was saved when I was 8 years old. I committed my life to Christ. In fact, I was telling, is it Hayden right here? So Hayden looks just like me when I was a kid. In fact, I was just sitting there laughing. I wore my hair the same way, and I had the freckles on my cheeks. And I tell you, I just love him, and I appreciate it, brother. Don't let me curse you for life, but I'm telling you, I look just like you. And I love to be in God's house. And I was saved when I was 8, so I was in church all the time. I surrendered the ministry when I was 11, and I didn't know what that meant. I'm still figuring that out. But I grew up in a deacon's home, so we were in church all the time. I tell folks all the time, we went to church when the doors weren't open because my dad had a key to the church, you know what I'm saying? And so I've been in all kinds of churches, big churches and small churches and rural churches and city churches and country churches. And you know what I've discovered? It's just good to be in the house of God with the people of God worshiping God. Amen. And I love your passion, your enthusiasm tonight. And it's just such, you know, I was thinking about that Highway 231, and you know, I love humor. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. The Bible says I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. So I love humor. And I was thinking about your name, and I couldn't help but think about the precious lady was out driving, senior citizen, had 4 or 5 of her buddies out, and she's going a little too fast, and the policeman ended up pulling her over. She rolled the window down, and he leaned over and he said, ma'am, did you know you were doing 110? And she said, well, I just saw the sign back there, the speed limit sign said 110. And he said, no, that's the name of the highway, Highway 110. And he looked in, and the passengers were in the back seat, eyes as big as silver dollars. He said, what in the world's wrong with them? And she said, I'll pay them no mind. We just got off Highway 231. So you guys might want to use that, okay? So you don't even have to give me credit. It's no problem. So, well, amen, amen, amen. Well, if you brought your Bible, turn to Isaiah, if you would, chapter 44. I was thinking about what to share just for a few minutes as I was sitting there. And the Lord just kind of led me to this chapter, Isaiah 44. And I just want to share with you, you know, we'll begin in verse 21 in a minute, but thank you. That's kind of you. I appreciate it. You got a donut or maybe a waffle or something like that, or a hamburger or something too, so that'd be great. So isn't that nice? God bless you. I was thinking about what to share, and I was thinking about this chapter. And I came down to verse 21, and I just want to just maybe talk with you a few minutes about doing life right. You know, the older I get, the more I realize I only have one life. That's it, just one life. And here's what I've discovered. Maybe you can feel my pain, some of you older folks. The older you get, the faster it goes. Did you know that? I don't know if you feel that or not. It's just incredible how brief life is. It's just amazing. I mean, you just blink and it's amazing. How many of you, for instance, how many of you have been a born-again believer? You've been a Christ follower? You've been saved longer than, say, 20 years? All right, how many of you have been saved? You've been a Christian longer than, say 30 years? 40 years? Isn't that great? Anybody, how about you've been a Christian longer than 50 years? Anybody? Certainly? Wow, praise the Lord. You guys are old, you know that? So, no, but what a great blessing. How old are you, my friend? Are you serious? Are you 96? You look fantastic. God bless you. You love the Lord. Isn't that neat? 96 years old. I love that. That is so neat. My grandmother's 92, just had double knee replacement surgery, and bowls every week, once a week on Thursdays, loves bowling. 92 years old. And 96, the Lord, do you bowl? Okay, you don't bowl? Well, he loves the Lord. Amen. That's great. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Well, you know, what I've discovered is you only have one life. That's it. And, you know, my family's been touched by death. My wife's father died when she was a teenager. He was 43 years old when he passed away, went home. He was a believer. He's with the Lord, but he was 43. My mother just passed away a few years ago. She was 60. And I'm just amazed. We just had in our church this past week, Thursday, I think it was, a 34-year-old husband, father of 2 girls, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, little girls, 2 little girls, 34 years old, been battling cancer for some time, went home to be with the Lord. And praise God, he knows Jesus, and we'll have the funeral here in just a few days. But you know, when you're around death a little bit, I don't mean to frighten you, but it reminds you how brief life is. And you have one opportunity to do life God's way. And here's what I've discovered. God has a plan for every individual person. And I was thinking about Isaiah 44, and he gives us 3 very simple instructions if we're going to do life God's way. Could I give them to you? 3, very simple. Verse 21. Remember these things. I'm in Isaiah 44, verse 21. Remember these things, O Jacob, for you're my servant, O Israel. I have made you. You're my servant, O Israel. I will not forget you. I've swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing for joy, O heavens, for the Lord has done this. Shout aloud, O earth beneath. Burst into song, ye mountains, ye forests, and all ye trees, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob. He displays his glory in Israel. All right, let me give you 3 very simple things tonight, all right? And then we'll head to the ranch. Number 1, if you're going to do life God's way, you've got to remember. Look at it in verse 21. Remember. Would you say that with me, church? Remember. Well, what does he want us to remember? Well, he tells us 2 very simple things. First of all, remember that I have made you. Do you see that? And then he says, remember, I will not forget you. That's all in verse 21. So the first thing we're to remember is that God made you. Now, I want to say to you, as I walk around and see these young people here, I want to tell you that God made every person here tonight. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:5 that he formed us in our mother's womb. That means every man, every woman, every teenager, every senior adult, every male, every female. I want to tell you, God made you, every one of you. And that means if God made you, he has a plan for you. Now, folks, I want to tell you, years ago, we could just say that truth and folks would believe it. But I'm going to tell you, our truth, the truth of God's word is being undermined. You can't just say, hey, God made you and everybody believe it. There are some folks out there teaching evolution, that we evolved from some blob of glue or from some monkey in a zoo, and how silly that is. But I want to tell you, young people, you need to know this fact. God created you. God designed you. And you're not an accident. You didn't come from a blob of glue or from a monkey in the zoo. I'll tell you, if you want to believe that, you can. You want to believe some knucklehead professor who can't get to his mailbox and back, want to say, oh, that we just somehow evolved from some way. Let me tell you, my friends, here's what happened. God Almighty created us out of the dust of the earth, and we belong to God Almighty. Someone has written this, once I was a tadpole, beginning to begin. Then I was a fish with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey swinging from the tree. And now I'm a professor with a PhD. How ludicrous that is, huh? How silly that is. Oh, listen, God created us. Do you know what that means? That means that we belong to God. Every boy, every girl, every mom and dad, every single adult, we belong to God. Now, that means that's where my value, my self-esteem, my importance comes from. Now, this is very important to get at a young age. You see, God created you. And God created you. And that precious gum in your mouth. What kind of gum is that? You don't know? Spearmint? Peppermint? Okay, no problem. What kind of gum you got? Okay, just chewing on it, huh? Well, it works. Well, all right. Well, I'll try to get through before the flavor's gone, all right? Would that be all right? God created you, and God created you, and God created you, and you, friend. Don't be her, all right? And you. You see, God created us. Now, that's very important to understand because that's where our self-esteem comes from. You see, our importance is not based on our accomplishments. It's not based on our education. It's not based on our talents. It's not based on our personality. Listen, our self-esteem is based on the fact that one day I was lost on my way to a devil's hell that God never prepared for me. And I'm going to tell you, I repented of my sin, and I turned from living my old way, and I began to follow Jesus the rest of my life. And I will tell you what Jesus Christ did at the cross of Calvary when He redeemed me and He delivered me and He forgave me and He saved me, my friend. I'm going to tell you, I became a new person in Jesus because of what God had done for me. Now, friends, that means I belong to God. So I've got to remember that God created me. But I love this. I want you to remember, secondly, He says that I will not forget you. Isn't that good news? I mean, listen, He's worth worshiping because not only did He create you, but He will not forget. He just didn't create you and send you off by yourself. No. He's with you every step of the way. In fact, Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when I face the greatest enemy in life, and that's death, I will fear no evil. Why? You are right there still with me. Your rod, it brings comfort to me. Your great goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. So friends, listen, we've got to remember how great God is. That He created us and that He will not forget us. That's an incredible thought, that He knows you by name. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11 that He knows every hair on your head, and fellas, every hair in your nose and in your ears. Amen. The older you get, you got hair growing where you don't want it. You know what I'm saying? You can't get it where you do want it. Well, bottom line. Now, see, nobody loves you like God loves you. And He will never forget you. What a great truth that is. Why is that so important? Because let me tell you, friends, the enemy is very wise in his attacks. And he attacks us when we're most vulnerable and where we're most vulnerable. And if your life is like mine, when things aren't going well, when I'm facing a storm, and by the way, you will face storms. Jesus said in John 16:33, listen, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good courage because I've overcome the world. But He said you will have trouble. You're going to have trials. And if you're not careful, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your heartache, the enemy will come along, as only he can do, and he'll whisper lies. He'll say, you see, God doesn't know you. God doesn't care about you. Why, if God is all powerful and if God is such a great deliverer and a protector and a provider, then why in the world are you in the mess you're in? You see, He doesn't know anything about you going through. He's asleep. He doesn't care about you. And I want to tell you, friend, in that moment, you better draw a line of the sand and you say to the enemy in the name of Jesus, I know who I am in God. I know that royal blood flows through my veins. I'm the son of a King of kings and the Lord of lords. I belong to God Almighty. He'll never forget me. He'll never forsake me. He'll never turn His back on me. You've got to know who you are in Jesus. Can I get a witness in the church? Amen? He will not forget me. Oh, listen, I've got to remember God because He created me and He won't forget me. Oh, what a great truth that is to know. Friends, I want to tell you, family may forsake you, friends may turn their back on you, but I'm going to tell you, if you give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, He'll never leave you a second in your life. He'll never forsake, and He'll never forget you. Oh, that's such a great truth. I think about John, who was going to speak at one of these senior adult dinners, kind of a fundraiser deal, and he got there. He was the main speaker, and he leaned over to the fellow next to him and said, I don't know how to tell you this, but I forgot my teeth, and I'm not able to speak. And the fellow said, well, look, I can help you. I work just around the corner. And so he took off, came back a few minutes, and said, here. And he handed him a pair of false teeth. Well, John put them in. He said, no, these are too loose. He said, well, I got another pair. He put them in, said, no, these are too tight. I'll never make it. He said, well, I got one more pair. That's it. He put them in, third pair, so they fit perfectly. He got up, gave the speech of his life. He came with the fellow and said, I'm going to tell you, you saved my life tonight. I want to thank you. You know, I've been looking for a dentist. Where is your business? And the guy said, dentist? I'm not a dentist. I work at the funeral home around the corner. Oh, listen, my friend, I want to tell you, God will not forget you. Remember that. He won't forget you. So we remember that God created us and God will not forget us. But now let me give you a second thing. Not only must we remember, but we've got to return. Notice it in verse 22. He says right there, return to me. Now why should we return to God? I mean, obviously the implication is, in order to return to something, it means you must have left something. Could I just tell you that we have more churches than we've ever had, and we've got a bigger mess than we've ever had? You know why? Because we got a lot of dead churches. You know what I love about coming to some of these kinds of churches? I love sitting here and just watching you folks worship. Hearing you sing and shout and clap. And you know, there's life here. There's vitality here. There's energy and enthusiasm here. I love a live church, don't you? I don't like a dead church. I like a live church. And I'm sad to tell you that we got a lot of dead churches. They meet, they sing a few songs, hear a sermonette, and go home and call it church. That's not church, my friend. I'm going to tell you where the people of God is and the power of God is. I'm going to tell you there ought to be the joy of the Lord in the house of God. Amen. I love the passion. I love the enthusiasm. So listen, the truth is sometimes we've grown stale in our walk with God. So the Bible says return to Him. Now why should we return to God? Well, let me give you a couple of reasons. He says it. Number one, because only God can forgive our sin. Do you see it in verse 21? He said, I've swept away your offenses like a cloud. Your sins are gone like the morning mist. Now the first reason we ought to return to God is because only God can forgive our sins. Listen to me now, church. Religion cannot forgive your sin. A denomination cannot forgive your sin. A dear pastor cannot forgive your sin. Church members cannot forgive your sin. Only Jesus Christ can forgive your sin. He alone paid the price, my friend, at the cross of Calvary. I love 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sins, oh, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. You say, Pastor, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. I want to tell you, my friend, I don't know where you've been and I don't know what you've done, but I know Him. And the word says His blood is more than able to wash your sin away. So I'm friend, I don't care how far deep you've gone into sin, the blood of Jesus Christ can forgive you of your sin. Oh, how happy it is. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Amen. Anybody had their sins washed away? Praise the Lord. And I just want to say tonight, in a house full of passion and enthusiasm, maybe you're sitting there on the outside, you've got a pretty smile, but on the inside your life is crumbling. On the inside you feel the burden of sin. On the inside you feel the weight of sin. I want to tell you tonight, my friend, if you'll come to Jesus Christ, He'll wash your sins away and He will set you free. And I'm going to tell you, you'll walk out here a new man, you'll walk out of here a new woman, a new teenager, because Jesus has come in. And when He steps in, my friend, your life is never the same. Amen? Never the same. I love that old song that says, you ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. You guys might want to do that next time. I'm telling you, we ought to return to Him. Why? Because only He can forgive sin. And secondly, watch it now in verse 21. We return to Him because only He can redeem us from our sin. Did you see that? He says in the last part, for I have redeemed you. Now let me tell you, friends, only the blood of Jesus Christ can redeem you. In fact, you can write the verse down, but 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 says, we were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Friends, I want to tell you, there are a lot of churches you go to, you could attend months and months and never hear about the blood of Jesus. That is a shame, my friend. I mean, it's only the blood of Jesus Christ that can wash up. So don't talk about the blood. You'll turn off gas. It's gory. You don't talk about the blood. Oh, listen, my friend. The precious blood of Jesus Christ can wash your sin away. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm so glad you can come to this church and hear the precious blood of Jesus Christ can wash your sin away. We return to God because only God can redeem us. Not religion, not denominations, not churches, not people. Only the precious blood of Jesus Christ can redeem us from our sin. Can I get an amen from the church? Amen. All the Word says we've got to return to Him because I have redeemed you. Listen, if He saved us, and He has. If He's delivered us, and He has. If He set us free, and He has. If He's forgiven our sin, and He has. Then, my friend, it is our joy to follow our precious Savior. Amen. We return. We remember. But now let me give you this last one. Don't get excited. It's a long one. We've got to rejoice. I mean, think about this. Won't you remember how great God is? I mean, doesn't this make sense? That He created us. That He's the maker of heaven and earth. And that He will not forget us. What an incredible thought. The Lord of this universe knows me by name. In fact, the Word says He's engraved my name on the palm of His hand. Wow! That's incredible. And won't you remember that only He can forgive sin? And if you'll just come to Him and confess your sin, He will wash your sins away. And once you remember that only He can redeem you with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, when you think about how great, mighty King of love, listen, what a great God we serve. The only reaction we can have is to rejoice. Amen. Now, how do we rejoice? Two ways. We're finished. Watch this. First of all, we've got to sing for joy. Did you see that? He says in verse 22, sing for joy. Now, it's interesting. Folks say, well, I don't sing very well. Well, listen, when Jesus does something on the inside of you, you just can't be quiet. Amen. In fact, Jesus said it this way, if you don't cry out to me, if you don't praise me, if you don't worship me, the rocks are going to cry out. I did a sermon series several years ago. I haven't done it at this church yet. And I titled it, Be Quiet, Rocks, We're Worshiping. We're not going to let the rocks steal our worship. I'm going to sing. Why? Because He's done something on the side of me. He saved me. He's delivered me. He's redeemed me. So I've just got to sing to Him. I just can't be quiet. Wonder what it would be like to worship with some of those believers in the New Testament who've been healed and delivered and set free. You think about old Lazarus. What it would be like to worship with Lazarus in church. You think he might sing? You think he might smile? You think he might shout amen? Amen. Till he met the hushers. Shh, we don't do that here. Every church has got them. The hushers. No, we don't do that here. And I can hear Lazarus saying, well, why not? Because people are sleeping. That's why I be quiet. What a tragedy. Friend, I'm going to tell you, you just imagine what it'd be like to worship with Jairus. Remember his daughter was dead? Tabitha, and Jesus came in and said, she's not dead. I'm going to raise. Do you think there might be a little excitement, a little passion, a little enthusiasm with that father? You think Lazarus might get a little excited? And somebody say, oh, big deal. So you've been dead 4 days. Big deal. That's the way some church members are. What a tragedy. The Word says sing. And not only that, watch it now. It says sing for how? For joy. Sing. Could I ask you a question? Where is the joy in most of our churches? Let me tell you, if Jesus has saved you and delivered you and redeemed you and forgiven you, there ought to be joy in the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Listen, I tell our folks all the time, don't criticize someone's worship. You weren't there when God delivered them. You don't know what they've been through. You weren't there when they cried themselves to sleep. You weren't there when they had suicidal thoughts. You weren't there when their life was caving in and Jesus stepped in and said, I won't forget you. I'll deliver you. I'll hang with you. I'll go with you every step of the way. You weren't there. So listen, if they get just a little excited about their faith, my friends, it's all right. Oh, listen, my friend, joy in the house of God. I want to tell you, some of the greatest, kindest, warmest people I've ever met is in the house of God. But I want to tell you, some of the meanest, coldest, cantankerous people I've ever met in the world are in the church. Have you ever met anybody Jesus couldn't please? Come on, don't elbow anybody, man. I met some people like that. You know, you just said, oh, isn't the sunshine beautiful? We're in a drought. Church folk. Now, these are folks who know Jesus, supposedly, you know. And then it finally rains, you know, and you'll say, oh, isn't the rain refreshing? It's going to flood. You met people like that? Good night. I mean, you know, I sit out there and preach. You know, when I preach, I love to look at folks. I don't know about you, Pastor, but I enjoy looking at people that smile every now and then. You know what I'm saying? Number one, I know they're alive. I wonder about half of church members. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they smile at me, shake their head a little bit, say amen, sick them preach or something. You know, just let me know you're alive. I love that. Then I look out there at some people, you know, they got their arms crossed, got their lips stuck out so far they can sit on it, swing their legs. You know what I'm saying? It's incredible. You talk like, oh, I love Jesus. Really? Well, tell your face, would you? Good night. Incredible. Mean as a snake, but oh, I love Jesus. What a tragedy that is. I mean, incredible. You know, just complain. But I understand. You know, folks, I had a lady say my day, somebody got my seat. I said, well, get here earlier, honey. How's that for a loving pastor? You know what I'm saying? I mean, had a lady say my day, I don't like all the music. I said, I don't either. And walked away. That stunned her. You know, every song isn't my favorite, but we do, listen, we do all kinds of songs. We do new and we do old. If it lifts up Jesus, my friend, I'm all right with it. In fact, what I've discovered is, you know, what you don't like may be someone else's favorite, and what's your favorite, someone else might like. Hey, that's what the body of Christ is all about. I mean, honestly, anybody who would stomp their foot and say, I want it my way, do my song, do everything, you're here to please me. Let me tell you, you don't need a Bible, you need a pacifier, friend. I have three girls. They're 18, 15, and 7, going on 27. Can anybody feel my pain? You know, one thing I teach my girls is you don't get everything you want all the time. The world isn't about you. If your world revolves around you, you live in a pretty small world. I tell our kids, you don't get everything you want. And then they go to church and got church members who say, well, I want everything my way. I said, honey, that's Burger King. That ain't church. Joy. Where is the joy? The Bible says, sing for joy. We ought to rejoice when we realize God will not forget me, and God created me, and God will forgive me, and God redeems me. I'm telling you, the only response we can have is sing for joy. And oh, the Word says it over and over so many times. I don't have time. You turn to Acts 13, verse 52. The Bible says, and they were filled, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and with joy. I just want to submit to you tonight. This is off the subject, but I just want to submit to you. You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit and not be full of joy. In fact, one of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. And I won't develop this, but notice it says fruit of the Spirit. It's singular, not fruits, but fruit. So you can't pick and choose what you like. Well, I like patience, but I don't like joy. No, 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 no. If you're walking by the Spirit of God, the Bible says you will have the fruit of the Spirit. That means you'll have joy in your life. Patience, long-suffering, all in all. But there ought to be joy in the house of God. Can I get an amen? I've said this 1,000 times. If I've said it once, I've said 1,000. If anybody ought to have joy, if anybody ought to be excited, if anybody ought to have enthusiasm, if anybody ought to smile, if anyone ought to laugh, it ought to be the people of God in the house of God worshiping God. We make no apology in our church for worshiping with passion, my friend. Jesus gave His very all, and we're not going to give Him leftovers. We're going to give Him our very best. By the way, I know I'm in football country. I'm from Kentucky. I grew up there. I've been here now 4.5 years. I love it here. But one of the things I learned, they love their football down here. I'm telling you, Alabama and Auburn, I've been to both stadiums. I love them both. I'm not here to start a fight. But I'll tell you, my first Sunday at Gardendale First, a little girl walked up to me. Little blonde-headed girl, about 7, 8 years old. Big blue. She said, preacher, who you for? I said, excuse me, who you for? And her mother's standing there, and she said she wants to know who you're for, Alabama, Auburn. And she just kind of helped her little daughter. She said, well, honey, he's actually from Louisville, Kentucky. He actually liked the Louisville Cardinals. And she said, 7 years old, well, that's okay up there, but who you for down here? And I said, well, Alabama, Auburn, I said, well, I like them both. She stood back, eyes got as big as silver dollars, and she said, preacher, you can't do that. Oh, listen, I've been to some of these football games with some guys in my church, and they hoop and they holler. I don't have time to. They'll park and walk. I don't know how long we walk and walk and walk. And I thought, man, we should have taken a cab here. I mean, walk and walk. And you know what's so funny? Those same people are parking a parking lot and be mad because there's not a parking place right in front of the front door. They walked 6 miles at the football game, stood up and for the whole ball game, spilled Coke on people. All the excitement, all the passion, all the. Listen, God, I love football. My dad was a PE teacher for 30 years. So I grew up with sports. I had a baseball in one hand, a basketball in another. I didn't play football. You get hurt playing football. You know that? So I didn't play football where I was. I played basketball and baseball. But I love sports. Let me tell you, God forbid that we get more excited about a football game that's not going to last than over Jesus Christ, our Savior. I mean, you think about it. 5, 10 years from now, you won't remember the score. Well, some of you nuts will, but you need counseling. You need counseling, some of you folks. I'm telling you, I realize that. But most people won't remember the score 5, 10, 20 years from now. God, you know how I learned how people love football? I came to my staff meeting one day. Sarah Lowe's staff sitting around. And I'd said to them, you know, I just read in the paper that Alabama, the state of Alabama, is fifth in heart disease and heart attacks and strokes and poor health. And, you know, I just said, man, that's, you know, is there something we can do to help? And one of my staff members said, yeah, but we're number one in football. But anyway, so... All the word says, sing for joy. So we rejoice by singing. And let me give you this last one. I'll be through. We rejoice not only by singing, but watch this, by shouting. This is interesting now. Look at this verse. The verse says, sing for joy, O heavens, for the Lord has done this. And then notice what he says, shout. How do we shout? Aloud, O earth beneath. Burst into song, you mountains, you forests, and all you trees, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob. He displays the glory. Notice the Bible says that we're to shout. Now, we don't just sing, but we shout. That's how we rejoice. Do you know it's biblical to shout to the Lord? It really is. Now listen, we all shout. Some of you shout at your kids. I've been there. I know that. I have three girls. Do you know what it's like to try to get to church on time, living with four women? Do you know what that's like? My wife. Do you know, you feel my pain? All right. My wife and three girls. I'm going to tell you, you know, and I've got so much hairspray and perfume in my house. I've got to have an albuterol treatment to get to the church, man. I'm telling you, but I can't breathe. And I go out in the car and I'm studying out there while I'm honking on the horn, you know, being spiritual. Hurry up, we got to get to church. Come on, hurry up. And my wife sticks her head out, one more moment. And hurry up, blow up. And she sticks her finger and says, I'm going to get in. And I said, okay, I got to make. Finally, they came out. You know, my wife gets in the car. She gets one leg in. I take off. One leg's dragging down the road, you know. Kids jump in the back seat, all three of them, you know, and then they start arguing with another. My kids aren't near as spiritual as yours. My kids start arguing on the way to church. She's looking at me, she's staring at me, she's touching me, and I said, I'm going to touch somebody in the name of Jesus. They get spiritual, we're going to church. You pull in the parking lot, good morning, brother. Oh, we shout at our kids. Listen, the word says, shout to God, all you nations. There's a time to step back and just say, man, God has been so good. God has been so great. I sing for joy. I burst into song and I shout aloud. Listen, the Bible says shout aloud. In fact, do you realize that's what's going to happen in heaven? People say, that ain't my personality. Well, I'm going to tell you, friends, God may give you a new personality. That's what everybody around you is praying for. They just hadn't told you. You know what I'm saying? You go to Revelation chapter 19. You just write this down. Revelation chapter 19 verse 1 says, and this is a picture of heaven, and they're shouting hallelujah. Have you ever tried to whisper hallelujah? It just doesn't seem right, does it? Hallelujah. 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 You imagine you're at a football game and your team hits a field goal to the end or wins or the last second touchdown, or you're at a basketball game, hit a three-pointer. Could you imagine jumping up and saying, yeah. Could you imagine that? Why? You just don't whisper hallelujah, do you? You shout hallelujah. Why? God's been too good for us to be quiet. I've got to worship Him. He's redeemed me. He's forgiven me. He has set me free. Oh, I love Psalm chapter 40 that says, I was in a pit. I was in a slimy pit. I was in a dark and muddy pit. And I cried out to God. And the Word says, He turned to me. Go look at the Scripture. He turned to me. And He answered my prayer. And He lifted me out of that pit. And He set my feet on a solid rock. And I'm going to tell you tonight, I don't know what you're facing, what you're going through. But if you'll turn to God, I have good news. He will hear you. And He will answer you, and He'll set your feet up on a rock. He'll give you a reason to live. He'll put a song in your heart. He'll put a tune on your tongue. He'll change the way you live. He'll change your priorities and your values and your heart and your passions. He'll change you from the inside out. There's no God like our God. Amen. I rejoice. I redeem. I'm going to tell you, friends, you want to live life right, do it God's way. You've got to remember, and you've got to return, and you've got to rejoice. You know that old hymn? Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, but then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now, I love this, I'm no longer the same. Oh, He touched me. Sing it with me. Yes, He touched me. And oh, the joy. Oh, wait just a second. I said, oh, the joy. You can't sing that smiling. You can't sing that frowning, I mean. Some of you are frowning. You said, oh, the joy. No, you got to smile. Oh, the joy. Look at your neighbor tonight and smile. Would you do that? Come on. Smile at them. For some of you, that's the most work you've done in a month. Amen. That's great. Hadn't seen your teeth in 6 months. There we go. We saw them tonight. Smile. Oh, the joy. Ready? And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me, and He made me whole. Anybody here been touched by Jesus? Give Him praise tonight, would you? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, listen, my friend. Listen, I've been sent here tonight with a word for God for you. Some of you that are struggling, disillusioned, depressed, and discouraged. On the outside, you may look fine, but on the inside, your life is crumbling. I'm telling you, there's nobody who loves you like God loves you. He sent His only Son, Jesus, the jewel of heaven, the crown and glory of heaven. He sent Jesus to die for your sin. And if you'll turn to Him and follow Him all the days of your life, repent of your sin and turn to Jesus, my friend, He'll change your life from the inside out. We're not talking about reformation, but transformation. Reformation happens on the outside and it never lasts. But transformation is a work of God on the inside, my friend, and it changes you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, oh, listen, I am a new creature. All things have passed away and all things have become new. You want to do life God's way? Give your life to Him. You know, there's an old song we used to sing. I was working with a teenager in Memphis, Tennessee. And it goes something like this. I don't know if I can remember the words, but it goes something like this. Did y'all like that? So anyway, let's see. I was trying to think how it begins. Yeah, that's right. He feels my pain. So yeah, it is sweat. I mean, it is hot in here, isn't it? So anyway. Well, it used to go something like this. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. There's been a great, great change since teenagers have fun with this. Been a great, great change since I've been born. There's been a great, great change since I've been born. There's been a great change since I've been born again. And then you can say all the things I used to watch, I don't want, and on and on. All the things I used to say, the things I used to say. Oh, you can just come up with so many things. Here's the bottom line. I'm not the same anymore. Listen, I'm not what I want to be, and sometimes I'm not what I ought to be, but praise God, I'm not what I used to be. Jesus has changed me. There's an old chorus goes like this. He's changing me, my precious Savior. I'm not the person that I used to be. It's been a slow growing, but there's a knowing that Jesus is changing me. My friend, Jesus can change you tonight. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Would you pray with me? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. And I don't know how you want to respond to this tonight, but I just want to have just an open altar time. And our pastor is going to be down here. And if you need Jesus tonight, or you need a church home, or you just want to recommit your life to Jesus, friend, I want to tell you, our pastor is here to pray with you. This altar is open. I like an old-fashioned altar where you can come and kneel and come by yourself or come with a friend. And you can just come and kneel at the altar and just let God do business with you just for a few moments. And I wonder if maybe y'all could just play a song or just play some music or just something. We're just going to have our heads bowed tonight. And I just want to give you an opportunity to respond. I want you to sense freedom here tonight. Now listen to me. The enemy's a thief. That means he came to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll rob you of your victory if you let him. But I want to tell you tonight, I don't believe it's an accident you're here. God brought you here. And I don't know what he wants to do in your life. But I'm begging you tonight, don't leave here the same way you came. Amen? Don't leave here the same way you came. And our pastor's right here to pray with you. This altar's open if you just want to come and just kneel and do business with God by yourself, or you want to come with your spouse, or my friends, there's freedom in the house tonight. Lord Jesus, I just pray for the next few moments, precious Holy Spirit, you'd have your way in every heart and every life tonight. We give this time to you.
And it's breaking inside.
Yes. Someone else, would you come tonight? Come on, friend. This altar's
running
open.
Out of time. While there's still a chance, we must spread the truth to all the lost, as we're commanded to do. We need to come together as the children of God before the Lord receives the nod. Lift up our hands and pray for the ones who are running away, so they might feel the love of God's only Son. Sacrifice he made doesn't need to be in vain. No matter what the cost, we need a burden for the lost. Oh, burden for the lost. Bird.